And sharing together here this morning again was just good to be reminded of the family that we have here together and the privilege that it is to be able to share together, the privilege that it is that God has allowed us at this time, in this place, to live out life together. We are experiencing life together as a church family, as a body of believers here in New Covenant. One thing that I would like to take time to pray for yet is you may have noticed that Myron is having some trouble with his prosthetic leg, and would definitely think it's a good thing to just lift Myron up to the Father and help the doctors and those that need wisdom to be able to get Myron back on 2 feet. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Praise you, Lord, this morning that we can come to you, that we can recognize that you are the great healer, that you are the one who has the ability to see into the things that we don't. Lord, I pray for wisdom for the doctors, for Myron, for his family, Lord, as they work through this. I pray, Lord, that you'd be able to bring healing to Myron's leg again and to bring the things that are needed to fix him back up with his prosthetic leg. So, Lord, we lift him up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you not aware, Myron fell twice because of a faulty prosthetic, and so they're checking to make sure there's no damage to his leg there. So anyway, we are part of the family of God, as I shared, I do count it a privilege to be able to share the gospel with you this morning. And one of the things I want you to know up front, that as I share the gospel, as I share the message, as I share it as God has laid it on my heart, sometimes in the passion of sharing it, my mouth gets ahead of my brain and maybe something doesn't come out right. So if I say anything that sounds questionable to you, talk to me, okay? You know, all of us, probably all of us could use the good advice that be sure your brain is engaged before putting your mouth in gear. Be sure your brain is engaged before putting your mouth in gear. You don't want to let the clutch out when there's nothing there, right, Mark? So anyway, that is my desire this morning, that as I share the gospel, as I share the word, that it will be from the heart that God has for us here this morning. And you can turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. Chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. And this message this morning, I believe, is what, as God has laid it upon my heart, is to just to be in a time of examination, a time of evaluating, how am I doing with Christ-like behavior? And I titled the message, Christ-like Behavior. So how am I doing with Christ-like behavior? And there's a list here that Paul gives in Romans chapter 12, And Paul gives these reference to these things, different books that he's written. And this one specifically written to the Roman church that was established at this time. And so I think it's good for all of us to step back once in a while and take a look at how am I doing personally with my life in Christ-like behavior. You say, what does it matter? Well, it really matters. It really does. Because I believe that if we're going to reach the world for Jesus Christ, one of the biggest hindrances is our behavior. One of the biggest hindrances is our behavior in reaching the world for Christ. So looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says this, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who curse, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. In verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here it is written. We take time, we talk about evil, we see the evil of the world, and my question to this morning, how do we overcome evil? We overcome evil with good. It's really not that difficult. It is really not that difficult. And yet the devil wants to make it complicated. The devil wants to make it complicated for us that we can overcome evil with good. And so Satan puts in our path all these things that will try to hinder us, to distract us, to draw us away from the truth of God's word and living a life with Christ-like behavior. Going back to verse 9 and the first sentence of verse 9, and I know that I could spend a whole sermon. I could stop right there. It says this, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite in your love. Don't be a hypocrite in how you live out your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for your fellow man. Because if you love the Lord, then you will truly love your fellow man. And we talk about love, and there's different definitions for love. We're familiar with the love, the term philo, and we're also familiar with the term agape. And so the love that this here, let agape be without hypocrisy. See, the philo, the love that is that expressed in philo is something that the world can do. It can be duplicated. Why? You don't need to be a Christian to exercise philo love. But there is no way under the sun that anyone can duplicate agape love, because it comes from God. So if a person calls himself a Christian and he loves with a love that God loves through him, he is loving with agape love. So it's pretty simple. It's not complicated. And this agape love that God is calling us to and to exercise and to live out and to be our behavior. This agape love is what will reach the world, will express to the world that we have something different. This is something you cannot manipulate or recreate or make happen without the Spirit of God flowing through you. So it is love without hypocrisy. And we'll look at the list that God has put together here through the Apostle Paul at this here list. Agape love is a defining mark that is unmistakably Christian in origin. It is to be a mark that cannot be duplicated by the world. Common in the practice of born-again Christians and easily identified as being something positive and desirable. Easily identified as being something positive and desirable. And I believe that's the message that God has for us this morning. How do we overcome evil? We overcome evil with Christ-likeness. To behave Christ-like is the power that we have to overcome evil. One of the things that, as I go down through here, I'm just going to take some time and look at the contrast between hypocritical and true love. hypocritical, and true love. And so we'll take a little bit of time to look at some of that. Consider this statement. I did it for them because if I were in the same situation, I would want someone to do it for me. I did it for them because if I was in the same situation, I would want someone to do it for me. This implies a condition. And I want us just to focus on the whole way through this here scripture as we look at it, that agape love has nothing to do with me. Agape love has nothing to do with me. It is a true, pure heart of saying, I'm going to do it for you. Agape love is this simple. It is as simple as saying, I did it for them. It is simple as saying, not because if I was in that situation, I would want somebody to do it for me. See, it draws attention to me again. It comes back to me. It's a condition. It's something that I do because, well, it might have good results. Okay, so agape love and doing something for someone is this simple. God moved in my heart to do it for you. It draws no attention to me. It draws no attention. And we'll look at that as we go through this. As Christians, we are called to be conformed to the image of Christ, not the image of Luke. As Christians, we are called to be conformed to the image of Christ, not Luke. You see what I'm saying? And when we're called to, and when we connect with, and our hearts are connected to the Almighty God, then that genuine agape love will be the behavior that we will have for each other. And I think about the fellowship. I think about the person, what God is calling us to in this scripture as we go through it. I'll go through a little bit verse by verse, but as we go through the scripture again, remember what God is calling you to think of the person that is sitting beside you. Think of the person that is sitting beside you. Not just a select few, not just a person beside you, but throughout the congregation. God's calling us to be the arms and the feet and the instruments through which God will move to love each other. And it's demonstrated again in how what our behavior is and how that behavior is worked out. If we can't stand with each other, how can the unbeliever believe what we're saying? If we can't stand with each other, how can the unbeliever believe what we're saying? So therefore, it's imperative that we all take the position that we are to care for each other. We are to reach out to each other. We are to serve each other. And it's not about me. It's not about me. Now, I think that, and I did a little bit of math, and I thought if there's 300 people here, and there's 52 Sundays a year, I would have to have a meaningful conversation with 6 people every Sunday to be able to talk to each of you once a year. Think about that. That's why I need your help. I need your help. See, I can't do that. I need your help. So that's what we do for each other. That's how we reach out to each other. That's how the body works, as we share with each other. And that way, the Spirit of Christ is demonstrated in the congregation. When we start talking about what we have done for someone, it takes away what I believe God wants to do. So let's look on. In verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. And so as we go through this here scripture, let's hold that first sentence. Let love be without hypocrisy. So I tell you that I'm a loving person. I tell you that I care about you. I tell you that I'm so full of love for everyone. I'm so full of love for the people around me. I'm so full of love for my family. And then I go sit at a computer and I view pornography. To those men, I bring up again this morning, to you men here this morning, be aware what the enemy is doing with the computer, the phone, the accessibility to pornography is devastating. It is devastating. And you cannot say that you love your family. You cannot say that you love your wife. It is hypocritical. It is hypocrisy. It is not true love. To say that you love your wife, you love your family, but you're going to sit there and do what is evil. It is hypocrisy. It is a hypocrite. Do you follow what I'm saying? Abhorring what is evil. Do you detest what is evil? Do you hate what is evil? And it will have it be no part of your life because you detest it, because you abhor it, you hate it. It's disgusting. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. See, that is true love, is to cling to what is good and to practice that in my life. I will have a Christ-like behavior when I abhor evil and I cling to good. We go on in verse 10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another. And again, I go back to let love be without hypocrisy. If we are going to be people that love without hypocrisy, then we will be kindly affectionate to one another. Otherwise, we are hypocrites. It is hypocritical. If I'm not able to exercise to have that Christ-like behavior of being kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. You say, how does that work? How do I flesh that out? How do I give preference to someone over myself? There are many ways. There are many ways. When it rises up in you to say, you can't do that to me, or I have it worse than you do. What are you talking about? See, laying aside myself, giving preference to the fact that there is someone who is needy, and I will be there to minister to them no matter what. No matter what. And I saw Christ-like behavior exemplified this week. And the guy sitting here this morning, and he's not going to like that I say this, I didn't ask him permission, but when Christ-like behavior is exemplified, then I want to draw it out. Listen carefully. I work closely with Jeff Zimmerman. And this week we had a man come in that walked into to the counter there, and he had a mask on. And I had a sense in my spirit, this was one of those that I should put my mask on. I usually keep it right there in my lunchbox. If the lunchbox wasn't there, so I ignored it. And through the process of things, Jeff needed to interact with this guy to look at the cylinders, what needed to be repaired and that kind of thing. And I observed Jeff walk out to this guy, and the guy was there with his mask on. And apparently Jeff got the same feeling that I did, because Jeff said, do you want me to put a mask on? And the guy said, well, don't you wear a mask here. So what are you going to do if you get it? And Jeff said, I will go get my mask and I'll put it on. Now here's my point. Jeff did not put a mask on because Jeff was fearful. Jeff put a mask on because that man was fearful. And I am never going to be able to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ if in their minds they believe that I am careless of their what could happen to them. If they believe that I am careless, that I don't care, that I could infect them with a virus, because individual, there is no amount of words that could have changed that man's mind. We know him. But Jeff did the Christ-like thing, and he put a mask on to make that man feel comfortable. Is that difficult? Is that difficult? Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. You know what? Jeff is going to have more opportunity now than ever to reach that man for Jesus, because he cared enough to do what was uncomfortable for Jeff, to do what was uncomfortable for him, to reach that man. Because that man was fearful, Jeff put on a mask. Not because Jeff was fearful, but because that man was fearful. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Loving a person without hypocrisy is loving a person enough to care about the good and the bad in their life. Loving a person without hypocrisy is loving a person enough to care about the good and the bad in their life. I told Karen this morning, I need to figure out a way to keep my heart rate down when I preach. So let's take a deep breath. Loving a person enough to care about the good and the bad in their life. When there's a failure with a brother or a sister, do you go to Facebook and plaster it all over Facebook? Do you go to the social media and plaster it all over the social media? What is your response when there's a failure? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. When a brother or sister fails, I have found people throwing stones that should not be throwing stones. Jesus said to the woman that was taken in adultery, who was caught in adultery, the woman that was brought before Jesus, and she wasn't a victim, she was part of it. She was taken in adultery, caught in the very act. She was brought before Jesus, and you know what he said when all her accusers had walked away? Or no, before they had walked away, he said to the crowd, he said, "You without sin, throw the first stone. You without sin, throw the first stone." And this morning, I'm sorry to find that there are people that are casting stones at people who have fallen that should not be casting stones, because they have not dealt with their own things. I beg you, Facebook is real. Social media is real. And you can hurt someone just as bad with the words that you share on there. And you are just as accountable. You are just as accountable for what you say on Facebook and social media as you are standing in the presence of the person. Because you are standing, when you do that, when you cast those stones, you are standing in the presence of God when you do that. Do you think Jesus, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say to that person that fell? Don't you think he would say the same thing that he said to the woman? After her accusers walked away, he turned to her and he said, "Neither do I condemn you." Why do we have the right that when somebody has fallen, to condemn them? Why? Why? We don't. Because it is love. It is not love without hypocrisy. It is hypocritical. It is hypocrisy. So the scripture goes on. In verse 11 it says, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So God has called us to be fervent in spirit, diligent, serving the Lord. And I get this picture sometimes that we feel like, okay, to be diligent, to be fervent, is to run around in America like we are chickens without heads, getting stuff done. You see what I'm saying? Diligent, fervent. And then my mind is drawn to my father. My father wasn't a man of he didn't rush to get something done, but he didn't lack. He was diligent. He stuck at it. My father and I built a garage together, a two-car garage on our home there. And it took us a while, but I observed my dad. You know, he took time. He put the mud on the mortar on the block, and you know, he didn't waste a lot. It was he put it where it was supposed to be. And you know, I'm there slopping stuff all over the place and put the block down, and it's crooked and it's sideways, and I can't get it straight. He just takes his time, he lays the block down and taps it a little bit here with his trowel, and a little bit there, and lay the level on, and it's level. And that's how he built, one block at a time. He built the garage. We built the garage. Now, he had to straighten out some of my stuff, but persistent, diligent, he stayed at it. And in the end, we were able to park our cars in the garage. Pretty simple. Stayed at it. Diligent. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is Christ-like behavior. This is Christ-like behavior. Diligent. Staying at it, persistent. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And here again, I see so many times that we get into these places where we are in tribulation or we're being tested. We don't have patience. Okay, let me say I won't include the rest of you. I don't have patience many times. When I'm being tested and tried, when I'm laying on my back for 2 weeks, not totally on my back, I went from the sofa to the recliner with this COVID thing, but anyway, not very patient. I wanted this to be over with. I wanted it to be done. I want a glass. I want to feel good again. And yeah, Karen could testify there's times I grumbled. You see what I'm saying? I wasn't very patient. So rejoicing in hope is where it starts. We rejoice in hope, then we are able to be patient in tribulation. When we rejoice in hope, that is Christ-like behavior. That is love without hypocrisy. Is to rejoice in hope. My hope is not in this. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in this body. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is the fact that God went to prepare a mansion for me, and when it is prepared, he will come again and receive me unto himself. That's my hope. My hope is that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and there is a place prepared for me that has none of this. Pain, suffering, and all those things. I can be patient when I rejoice in the hope. Are you rejoicing in hope this morning? Are you rejoicing in the hope that you have in Jesus? Or are you burdened down with this world's cares? And we can get there if we stop rejoicing in the hope that we have in Jesus. And patience, patience is lost. And then the answer to that is continuing steadfastly in prayer. It is so hard to grumble and complain when you are steadfastly continuing in prayer. When you are praying, it is hard to grumble and complain. When you are praying, it is hard to talk bad about someone else. When you are praying, therein you will find that hope. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, distributing to the needs of the saints. This is love without hypocrisy. Distributing to everyone in Laustown. You don't even know where that is, but anyway, that's close to my house. Little town. It says not. It's not speaking to the unsaved. Listen to what it said. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Sometimes we're pretty willing and ready to reach out to somebody who is unsaved, down and out. And we should. We should. But here's a scripture that says distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. This is love without hypocrisy. This is love without hypocrisy. Going on, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now, when's the last time that you stopped and you rejoiced with somebody for their son or daughter got saved, or they were something good happened in a spiritual sense. Something good happened. Or are we quick to say, well, yeah, not that big a deal. So they got the raise they wanted, or they got the job they wanted, or they got the car they wanted, or whatever it might be. Did you ever stop and just rejoice with them? Just stop and rejoice with them. And weep with those that weep. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that is Christ-like behavior. There may be people that have come to you and they share something with you. They share their heart. They share a burden. And all they need is for you to listen, to rejoice with them, or to weep with them. That's all they need. And we always try to come up with all these here fine answers, these here intelligent intellect that we come up with our minds, and then we'll go on and look at what it says about that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So we come up with all these here wise opinions of how we can reach out to and minister to, and all they want is for you to weep with them. That is Christ-like behavior. There is a time and place to help someone with advice and that kind of thing. That's right, and it should be. But sometimes they just want you to rejoice with them or weep with them. Not a whole lot of what I've conjured up in my mind to be smart. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with humble. How many of us have rejected relationships that are of the humble sort? Because we set our minds on higher things. Prestige, the people we hang out with will make us look good. Or the people we hang out with will make us look bad. Have you ever ministered to someone or just reached out to someone simply because you could? Not because of who they were. See, you cannot pick and choose who is needy. You cannot pick and choose who is needy. Well, there's a need for a hug. A need for a handshake. You can't pick and choose. See, we're all part of the kingdom of God. We're all part of God's family. And we can't pick and choose who we're going to care for because of who they are or their position. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And this is one that I think we are challenged with again today in the life that we live and the world that we're living in, where it's you, it's about me, it's about what I can accomplish. Therefore, if someone is treating me bad, well, I just cut them off. I'll just do the same back to them. They don't talk to me, I won't talk to them. We repay evil for evil. It is there. It is within the nature of man to do that. And therefore it takes the focus of letting love be without hypocrisy. So repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as it is possible with you, live peaceably with all men. Why? Because this is love without hypocrisy. If it is in your power, as if it's within you, live peaceably with all men. Are you attempting to do that? Remember, this is an evaluation this morning. This is an examination of my Christ-like behavior. Am I Christ-like in that when it's in me, it's in my ability to bring peace to a situation, that I will do it? Or do I take the opportunity to stick it to them? Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You don't need to. You don't need to get vengeance. You don't need to lash out. You don't need to make someone pay. You know why? Because if it's done against you because of your Christianity, if it's done against you because you're part of the kingdom of God, guess who they're going to deal with? And that should be sobering to all of us. I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to repay. Verse 20 says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Goes contrary to what we think. It's contrary to what our human nature is. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. It goes against what we feel. To give our enemy something to drink, to make him feel good, or her. It goes against the human nature. Therefore, we need to go back to let love be without hypocrisy. Because if for any reason I will not give my enemy food or drink, and I say that I love him, then I'm a hypocrite. Then I'm a hypocrite. And the last part of that verse says, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Let me warn you. Let me warn you this morning that if you're giving your enemy a cup of water to heap coals of fire on his head, you've missed a blessing. It's hypocritical. If you're giving your enemy something to eat to heap coals of fire on his head, you're missing it. It is hypocritical. Because if we are doing those things to see coals of fire heaped on their heads, then we're taking vengeance. It says, and it's not saying that you do this, but it says, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on their head. It doesn't say that's why you do it. It says you're to do it because you love them. You're to do it because you love them. That you give them a drink. That you give them food. But whenever I start to take into account that, hey, I'm going to do this to heap coals of fire on their head, then I'm getting vengeance. I know I can see you're struggling a little bit with that, but think it through. It's not, it is what happens. It's not why we do what we do. It is what happens. It's not why we do what we do. So think about it. If you're going to love without hypocrisy, don't do it to heap coals of fire on their head. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And it is all, there's so much in the previous verses that give this Christ-like behavior that we are able to walk in, that we are able to embrace, and especially in the time that we're living in right now. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You have a calling. You have a calling. That is to love your enemy, to good, do good to all men. And in verse, then it goes on into chapter 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And that's a whole nother sermon. Wasn't planning to go there. The beginning of chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Are you presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? When I have to get revenge, when I am not reaching out to my brother in love, then my mind is not transformed. It's simply of this world. And the world, we have nothing to offer this world that is different than the rest. If I'm going to sit here and talk bad about government, if I'm going to sit here and talk bad about them, then I'm no different than the world. We're in this election time again. I didn't plan this. We're in this election time again, and I caution you. The words that you speak are spoke before an almighty God who told us to honor those that are over us. Okay? Christ-like behavior, what would Jesus do? Do you think Jesus would sit there and talk bad? What would Jesus do? We are to have a Christ-like behavior. We are Christians. We are different. We are different than the world. We are Christians. We are Christ-like. We follow Christ. And he was the perfect example. What would Jesus do? What would he do? In your situation, you name it, wherever you're at, when somebody cuts you off on the road, when somebody talks bad to you, or somebody bad mouth, it seems like attitudes and stuff are really close to the surface right now. When somebody starts talking bad to you, what would Jesus do? What would he do? What would he do? That's what we're to do. That's what we are to do. We are Christians. We are called to be like Christ, to live a Christ-like behavior, and let love be without hypocrisy. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we had to look into your word. Thank you, Father, for the written word that is encouraging, that gives us light and life, that we can follow you, that we can walk according to your will. And God, I pray that for each of us there would be a strength to love without hypocrisy. Lord, that there would be the strength to be able to be Christ-like in our behavior everywhere we go. God, you are there, you are willing. You have placed your spirit within us, and I know that we are able to do it because of that. Not because of some manufactured strength of our own, but it's through your Holy Spirit that you have granted us the ability to be Christ-like in our presentation to the world, to the people around us, the people we live with, the people that we go to church with. And I pray, Lord, you would continue to receive the honor and the glory. God, we are so excited, and we look forward to that day when you will come and take us home to be with you. And Lord, we know that there's a lot of work to be done before that happens. And Father, I pray that you would sensitize our hearts to those who are unsaved, and that you would help us to recognize those that need to hear the gospel message, and that you would open our hearts to reach out to those that hate us, that do nasty things to us, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to see the lost soul. Father, give us sight. We pray that our blind eyes would be opened and that you would receive the honor and the glory. I thank you for the church, Lord. I pray that you would continue to grow and to shape us into the people that you want us to be. God, pour out your spirit upon us. We're ready, we're waiting, and we want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.